Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm really pleased to have all of you on the phone and on the internet for this training on healing anxiety and depression. So, obviously, anxiety and depression are very, very big problems in our culture, and a lot of you have written in asking questions, are on medication and not real happy about it, and sometimes medication helps and often it doesn't, but it has obviously some side effects that a lot of people don't like, and often traditional therapy doesn't work either in any really permanent way. And nobody really wants to go through life with a lot of anxiety and depression. So I'm going to talk about how the inner bonding process addresses the root causes of anxiety and depression. And one of the things that I want you to understand is that inner bonding is a process. It's not an instant cure. It's something that all of you can learn to do. And when you bring it into your life, you will find your anxiety and depression healing. It is a very, very powerful process. But it's not always something that one can learn to do on one's own, which is why we offer a lot of different forms of help through our website, our membership site, our books, our CDs, DVDs, free course, these webinars, podcasts, a lot of ways of getting the support and learning the inner bonding process. So let's talk about what is the primary cause of anxiety and depression. There actually is one primary cause, and that cause is self-abandonment. And so I'd like to talk with you about that. I'd like you to imagine that you have a child, and you're treating this child badly. You're ignoring the child. You're judging the child. You're trying to hand the child away to other people. You're going off and participating in addictions like food or alcohol or drugs rather than paying attention to this child. Now, when you do this, this child is going to feel very unloved, very abandoned, very neglected, likely feel depressed, feel anxious because there's no adult there attending to the child. Well, this is exactly what happens on the inner level. The child in us is our feeling self. You can call it your feelings, or you can call it a child, whichever works best for you. The reason that we use inner child is because we all know that we're responsible for a child, but most of us have not been brought up to believe that we're responsible for our feelings. But we are. And unfortunately, most people were brought up to not know how to take responsibility for their feelings. And so you behave in ways that are very, very unloving to yourself. You stay in your head and ignore your feelings. You tell yourself you shouldn't be feeling the way that you feel. You judge yourself harshly and try to have control over yourself with your judgments. You turn to a lot of different addictions, substance addictions, process addictions, and you try to make other people responsible for making you feel loved, making you feel okay, making you feel worthy, making you feel safe. Now, all of these are forms of self-abandonment, and they cause anxiety and depression. And so as long as you are treating yourself the way that you were either treated by your parents or the way your parents treated themselves, the way you learned as you were growing up, then the chances are that you have some anxiety and depression in your life. So the inner bonding process is a process for learning how to take loving care of yourself. And it takes practice, as I said. It's a specific process. It's a specific six-step process that teaches you, through the practice of it, how to take loving care of yourself. Let's talk for a moment about some of the chemical changes related to self-abandonment. When you're abandoning yourself, you're creating a lot of stress in your body. And stress causes chemical changes. So then when you finally go to a psychiatrist and you get tested and you've got these chemical changes going on, and the psychiatrist says, oh, you need this medication because you're chemically imbalanced. Well, yes, but you weren't always that way. And stress is one of the major causes, all kinds of stress, whether it's emotional stress, whether it's physical stress, because people stress their bodies out in a lot of ways. They stress their bodies out with eating very poorly, eating a lot of sugar, eating a lot of junk. This is very stressful for the body. And when they abandon themselves in these ways that I've mentioned, it causes a huge amount of stress. And eventually, the body just doesn't handle this stress well, and there are chemical changes in the body. And so, yes, you might get tested. Yes, you might have these chemical changes. I've worked with many, many hundreds of people who have had chemical changes, who are anxious, who are depressed, who are even bipolar and on lithium. And as they learned and practiced inner bonding, lo and behold, they learned how to take loving care of themselves. They learned how to lower their stress. Their anxiety and depression goes away, and they no longer need the medication. Now, I am not suggesting that anybody who's on medication go off of it, because you can't just do that. You can't just go off of it. But I am suggesting that you don't need to be on it your whole life, that you can learn to take loving care of yourself, both physically and emotionally, in all ways, and that will actually change the chemistry of your body to the point where you will no longer need medication. As I've said, I have worked with people for 42 years. I've seen hundreds of people be able to go off, and maybe thousands be able to go off medication. So one of the things you want to do right now is take a look at what are the ways that you're abandoning yourself, because this is highly important. Most people don't get how they're abandoning themselves. They don't get that how they treat themselves is actually the cause of their anxiety and depression. You want to start to look inside and notice what your thoughts are, what your judgments are, how you treat yourself, how you feed yourself, your behavior towards yourself, your behavior towards yourself around other people, and you will begin to notice what it is that's creating your anxiety and depression. Now, there's another thing that that creates anxiety and depression, and that is that many of us grow up in households which were very unloving. We may have been emotionally neglected. We may have been physically abused or sexually abused. We may have been abandoned in many different ways. And when we grow up in a household like that, we feel a tremendous amount of loneliness and heartbreak and grief from being treated so unlovingly. But the problem is that as little children with little bodies, we cannot handle the huge feelings of loneliness and heartbreak. So we have to learn to protect against it. And we learn many, many addictive ways of avoiding feeling these feelings. And it is all of these ways that we learn to protect against these feelings that are now causing the anxiety and depression. We had to protect as children. We don't have to protect as adults, because as adults, we can actually learn to manage these feelings of life. We all have life experiences, many life experiences that cause us to feel lonely and cause heartache and cause heartbreak and grief and sorrow. These are part of life. And part of the inner bonding process, a big part of the inner bonding process, is learning how to connect with a personal source of spiritual guidance that gives you the strength and the ability to manage these painful life feelings. If you don't know how to manage these painful life feelings, you're going to avoid them, and all the things you do to avoid them create anxiety and depression. And so so it becomes a kind of vicious circle. And yet many people actually prefer to feel the anxiety and depression which they're creating than to feel the painful feelings of life which they're not creating. The painful feelings of life are coming from other people's unloving behavior, coming from difficult events in life, and they're always going to be those. This is part of living on the planet, is that there's painful things that happen. And if you're not willing to learn how to manage these painful feelings of loneliness and heartbreak and grief and sorrow, you're going to avoid them. And you're going to avoid them by abandoning yourself. And that creates anxiety and depression. And so the inner bonding process is an extremely powerful process, the only process that I know of that actually teaches you how to become a loving adult, how to connect with a higher source of guidance so that you can truly manage these core feelings of life in a way that allows them to quickly move through you and be released out of your body, so that you don't have to turn to all the self-abandonment that creates the anxiety and depression. So healing anxiety and depression means that you are willing to learn and practice the inner bonding process. And I want to encourage all of you, if you haven't yet taken our free course, to do that. One of the best ways of getting supported in the inner bonding process is to join our membership site. It's really an incredible site. There's nothing like it on the internet. You get an unbelievable amount of support and learning. I've seen people who just go on the site for a little bit every day and achieve incredible healing. They let me know they're just making a huge amount of progress. And so on the website, we answer your questions within hours generally. You just get enormous amount of support with the chats, the discussion boards. There's so much on there. So healing anxiety and depression means that you learn and practice inner bonding, that you're willing to feel your core feelings rather than avoid them, that you're willing to learn to take loving action in your own behalf, that you're willing to move out of your comfort zone of the protections, of the addictions that you've learned to do. Because if you keep on treating yourself the way that you've been treating yourself, you're going to go right on feeling anxious and depressed. You cannot keep on treating yourself the way that you are and expect to not feel anxious and depressed. So the more you learn to take loving care of yourself, the less anxious and depressed you become, and the more you'll experience your inner peace and joy, the more you'll be able to have loving relationships. This is the key, learning how to take loving care of yourself both physically and emotionally. And when you learn to do that, what happens is that you move into the ability to manifest what you want. Because when you're abandoning yourself, you're keeping yourself at a very low frequency, which means you cannot tap into the power of manifestation because you cannot tap into your higher guidance. But as you learn to take loving care of yourself, your frequency raises, you are able to tap into your spiritual guidance for the help you need to manifest the life that you want. And this is such a powerful thing to do. So I want to urge all of you to start to make kindness to yourself your guiding light. We all know what kindness is. You might not know what it means to love yourself. You might not know what it means to move into compassion for yourself. But we all know what kindness means. But most people don't think about having kindness towards themselves as their guiding light in life. But as you make kindness your guiding light towards yourself, forget about others for the time being, because when you really learn to be kind to yourself, you will automatically be kind to others, because it's not kind to yourself to not be kind to others. And so it'll be automatic. But we don't want to think in terms of others right now. I want you to think just in terms of how you treat yourself. And as you make kindness your guiding light, you'll learn to love yourself, and then you'll really, really enjoy sharing your love with others rather than always trying to get love, because that's what we do when we're in our wounded state. We're trying to get love. And that creates a lot of anxiety and depression, because that's a form of self-abandonment. Anytime we're trying to get somebody else to love us instead of learning to love ourselves, we create a lot of anxiety. We learn to control in a whole lot of ways that don't work, which also create anxiety and depression. And so by making kindness towards yourself your guiding light, you learn to fill yourself up with love, and then you are able to share that love with other people. So we have many, many people who have written in questions, and we have many people on calls here. And what I would like to do is see if anybody would like me to work with them. Any of the people who have called in would like me to work with you. You can press *7, which will unmute you. And then I can do a little bit of work with you on the phone. I will be also answering some of the questions that people wrote in. So if there's anybody that would like to press *7 and ask me a question, you can get an experience of what it's like to do a little bit of work with me. And if you're not ready to do that, yes, go ahead.
Hello?
What's your name? Yes, what is
my
your name?
My name is
Joan?
Lynn. My name is Lynn.
I think we have two people. What's the first person? What's your name, honey?
Kim,
go ahead. Say
Hi,
it again.
Dr. Paul. This is Lynn from Maine. You worked with me on the phone a few weeks back. And
okay.
I just wanted to thank you so much for that. I have grown by leaps and bounds since then. And I am actually I am actually bringing that wounded child forward and talking to her. And she is real, and I am loving her. And I just feel so much better and so much more powerful now that I know how to address, you know, things that come up and the little voices that start speaking to me that I can just, you know, well, wait a minute, where's this coming from? And I'm actually practicing the inner bonding process and all that. And I just wanted to thank you for that. And just
oh,
to let
well,
you know
thank you so much for letting me know that. I wonder if you can do me a favor and
yes.
Send me an email at margaretinnerbonding.com and give me some details, that because I really, really appreciate hearing about people's success stories. If you're willing to do that, I'd appreciate it.
I will do that. Thank you.
Great. Okay.
Hello.
So,
hi, Kim.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. My question is, our minds, when we have the knowledge on what we know that we need to do for self-care and to move ourselves forward, and you get that burst of energy like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to set my sights on this, I'm going to go for it, and then nothing happens. And
I mean,
it's almost like I
self-sabotage. What you're saying is that you know what you want to do, but you don't take the loving action.
Yeah, like even though I try to force myself, it's like I get so fatigued and
overwhelmed. See, that's indicating that you're not actually operating as a loving adult, that you have a wounded part of you saying, I have to do this, I have to do that, and then you have another wounded part of you that goes into resistance and basically says, you can't make me, and just becomes fatigued. And so you're not operating out of a spiritually connected, loving adult. It creates an inner power struggle, which creates a sense of immobilization. You need to be doing the work, the inner bonding work, of learning how to have a loving adult, which means learning how to connect with your source of spiritual guidance. Honey, right now I'd like you to just close your eyes for a moment and imagine a higher, older, wiser part of yourself, like you as a really old, wise person. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Okay. Now I'd like you to ask that older, wiser person, and it may feel like you're making up the whole thing, but that's okay. Just ask, what do I need to do to make my little girl inside feel safe and feel loved?
The first thing I hear is protection.
And so ask, what does that mean? How can I protect her in a loving way?
It doesn't make sense, but I hear surround her. Surround her with compassion, understanding, love.
And that absolutely makes sense because that's exactly what your little girl needs from you. She needs you to be opening to that higher, wiser part of you and to be inviting in compassion and to start to treat her with deep kindness and gentleness and caring and tenderness and understanding. And that's what makes her feel protected. That's what makes her feel loved and safe. And as you practice doing that throughout the day, with all of your feelings, you will find that immobilization of not being able to take loving action, you will find that melting away. You actually cannot take the action unless you're connected to that higher, wiser part of yourself. Now, you were able to do this just now. You actually heard your guidance. Even though you might think you're making it up, you did hear your spiritual guidance. And the more you open to that, which is a vital part of the inner bonding process, the more powerful your loving adult will become and the easier it will be for you to take loving action. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Good. So I hope you learn and practice inner bonding.
Thank you. And I hope
you join our membership site. It's an incredible community of intentional learners. There's absolutely nothing like this community on the Internet. So I'm going to take one of the questions. Unfortunately, we have many, many, many people that wrote in questions, and I'm certainly not going to be able to get to all of them, but I would like to get to some of them. And so this is Lily from Sydney, Australia, and she writes, I suffer from panic disorder. I have had about 5 or 6 major episodes over the last 22 years, with 2 of the episodes occurring during the last 3 years. During each episode, after my initial panic attack, I go into a state of extreme anxiety that can last for over a year. I know you say that inner bonding can heal anxiety and depression, but can it heal the type of extreme and almost constant anxiety that occurs with panic disorder? I also want to ask what exactly may be occurring between my inner child and inner adult to lead to the development of these awful panic disorder episodes. Well, when a child gets panicked, it's because the child feels completely and totally alone inside, completely abandoned, that there's no inner adult, that there's no connection to spirit, that they're alone inside. And that is a very, very terrifying situation for a child. And so this can cause panic, absolutely can cause panic. And so what I want to suggest to you is that you really need to start to practice inner bonding and develop your spiritual connection, because that is the only thing that will stop the child from feeling so alone that she gets panicked. Now, I have had many clients heal from panic disorders when they have been diligently practicing inner bonding, getting support with it, really learning to be a loving adult, really learning to take loving care of themselves, really learning to connect to their spiritual guidance, they find that they no longer feel the panic. If you think about it, it makes sense. If you're a little kid and you're all alone in the world and there is no adult taking care of you, and you have no way of connecting to anybody, you're going to feel panicked. Now, this panic may be old for you. We don't have time to go into depth in this call. I don't know what happened at your birth, if you were in an incubator, if you were premature. Sometimes the panic can go way, way back to feeling very, very, very alone. But whether it goes way back or not, the healing is the same. The healing is developing that loving adult who's connected to spirit, who can show up for your own feelings. Because once that little child inside knows that he or she is not alone anymore, the panic goes away. So is there anybody else on the line right now that would like to ask me a question?
Yes, Kathy here.
Hello, Kathy.
Oh, I'm so glad you took one more question. I have done a lot of inner child work, including graduating from the University of Santa Monica, if you're familiar with it.
The spiritual program, yes.
Yes. And I'm stuck. I have so much regret inside, so much guilt and so much shame because of my own behavior, labeled as bipolar, trauma reaction, that I can't forgive myself.
Okay, honey, what are you telling yourself right now that's causing you the shame? See if you can look inside and see, what are you saying to yourself that makes you feel shame? What's the judgment?
I'm mentally ill.
So you're telling yourself you're mentally ill and that's causing you to feel shame. And what else?
And that I can't change.
And that you can't change. So,
and I'm not
worthy. What I want you to realize is that, pardon me?
And that I'm not worthy of forgiveness.
Okay, you're not worthy, you can't change, and you're mentally ill.
Right.
So this is a wounded part of you that have that has absorbed these false beliefs. And I would you ever sit in front of an actual child and say, you're mentally ill and you're not worthy and you'll never change?
No.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
No, of course not. But that's what you're telling your little girl. And so of course she feels shamed. And of course she feels horrible.
But I look at the results in my own children, my 16 and my 17-year-old, who struggle to have a relationship with me.
Yes,
and
I understand that.
And there's consequences.
But it's still coming from your own. It's still coming from your own wounded self judging yourself. Now, I'd like you. Do you have a connection with the source of spiritual guidance?
It's been cut off for a long time.
Okay. So right now I'd like you to put your focus in your heart.
All right.
Breathe into your heart. And just see if you can open again to, as I said to the previous caller, that breathe into your heart and imagine an older, wiser part of yourself. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay, and I'd like you to ask that part of you, is it true that I am unworthy?
No.
That I am essentially, basically, in my core, unworthy?
No, it's not true.
That's right. Is it true that I can't change?
What comes to me is that time is proving, yes, it's true, I can't change.
Okay, so let me help you with this, honey. You know, there's a couple of major parts inside that you need to start to separate out. All of us have a core self that we're born with. And if you think about your children, you can think about who they were when they were born, this little bundle of light. And this is who you really are. This is your core self. And this part is never damaged. It's never mentally ill. It's always whole.
Yes.
But the problem is that it goes into hiding because of many things that happen in childhood.
Yes.
And what happens is that we go about developing our wounded self. Now, God created our core self. We create our wounded self. We don't do a very good job of what we create. And so the wounded self is not whole. The wounded self in every single human being is mentally ill. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay? Every one of us has that part.
Yeah.
Just look around the world and you'll see. Okay?
Yeah.
And the wounded self doesn't change. And so what you're talking about when you're saying, see, your wounded self is talking about itself. I'm unworthy. Yes, the wounded self is actually not who you are. You, your essence, is extremely worthy, but the wounded self is just a creation that we created to try and protect ourselves.
Right.
And it is mentally ill, and it isn't going to change. But that doesn't mean that you can't heal. That doesn't mean that you can't develop a loving adult. You don't have to be governed by your wounded self your whole life. You can learn to develop a spiritually connected loving adult. And when you do, when you have that connection, then you will be in charge rather than the wounded self being in charge. And that changes everything, honey.
I get it.
That changes everything. And it doesn't take that long. I'm really glad that Lynn got on and said, because this was, you know, I'm not sure when I worked with her, a month ago or 2 months ago, and everything is changing for her because she's practicing inner bonding and learning to take loving care of herself. You can do this.
How do I arrange working with you?
Well, honey, all you have to do is go on the website and call my office, or you can email me at margaret@innerbonding.com,
okay.
Or you can email the office at innerbonding@innerbonding.com, or you can get the phone number on the website.
Okay, okay.
And you can certainly arrange to work with me.
Okay, okay.
And really, honey, you're gonna heal.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Margaret, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. What's your name?
My name is Salita Mann.
Salita. Hello, Salita. How can I help you?
Yes, I suffer from schizoaffective disorder.
Uh-huh.
And basically, all the different medications I take, they seem to be working except the ones that make me sleep. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't work. I just wake up feeling like I've been drained because
well,
I don't
honey,
get enough
I,
sleep.
You know, I'm not here to really deal with what's going on with medication, but what I want to suggest to you is that you get on the website, take our free course, learn about inner bonding, and start taking loving care of yourself, and then see what happens, okay?
Okay.
That's the best that I can offer you right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to take another question that somebody has written in here. Okay. I like the work that you're doing. My comment and question is, sometimes I think I'm clearing negative emotions when in reality I'm just reopening the same wound over and over and experiencing the pain of it without really healing the issue, kind of like suffering over your suffering. An example would be that I don't feel listened to. This usually triggers in me feelings of not being important enough or feeling disrespected. The problem is that intellectually I know I am responsible for my feelings, but on an emotional level, I find it hard to drop the blame toward the other person and take full ownership of my feelings. So I usually fall into the trap of feeling victimized and rejected. How can I stop blaming the other as the cause of my feelings so I can transform the issue? Thank you so much, Elizabeth. So there's a couple of things going on here. One is that whenever we feel rejected over not being listened to, it's very, very likely that the reason it's triggering you so much is that you're probably not listening to yourself. Probably your little girl feels abandoned by you, doesn't feel heard, doesn't feel you attending to her in the way that she needs, doesn't feel you listening to the feelings inside. And when we're not listening to ourselves, we get very triggered when somebody else is not listening to us. So that's one level to deal with. Now, the other level is that when somebody really is not listening to us, it feels lonely inside. There's some heartache at not feeling listened to and cared about by another person. And you are covering over the feelings of heartache and loneliness with your blame. Blame is a form of control. And you're trying to control the other person rather than take responsibility for lovingly managing your own feelings of loneliness and heartache that come up in the face of somebody not listening. And this is what I was talking about that we, you know, in every day there's going to be core feelings. Every day somebody's not going to listen, or somebody's going to be mean, somebody's going to be rejecting. And this causes heartache. It causes heartbreak. It causes loneliness in us. And if we don't acknowledge these feelings, we don't get present with them and acknowledge them with compassion and kindness towards ourselves, then we're going to protect against them. And we protect against them with our anger and our blame and giving ourselves up and withdrawing and shutting down, all of which causes anxiety and depression. So until you're willing to embrace the core feelings and learn how to be a loving adult with them, until you're willing to learn to be a loving adult and show up for yourself, you're going to be reactive to somebody not listening to you. It's just going to trigger that over and over and over again. Okay, is there somebody who would like to ask a question?
I would.
Okay, honey, what's your name?
My name is Valerie.
Valerie, okay.
I have a question that pertains to the question that you just read, which is,
okay.
When I was married, I felt like I was very open emotionally, and I reached out and tried to be loving, and he was very unresponsive, and I found that it was, I found myself feeling like I was doing him a favor by just leaving him alone. And it created a pattern within myself where it's almost the opposite, where I feel like I'm doing someone else a favor by not responding or reaching out with my needs, or even just to nurture their needs.
So what is the question, honey?
My question is it this, how do you break through that feeling like if you want to nurture someone, but you think that your nurturing isn't good enough, or they really don't want it?
Well, then why would you want to be with somebody who responds to you that way?
Well, I'm no longer with him, but I still find that I'm that way with
other people. If you're wanting to share some love with somebody and they're not responsive, that's a pretty good indication that that may not be somebody that you want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering what attracted you to him to begin with.
Oh, I don't know.
So sometimes what happens is that we may be attracted to somebody who may be similar to one of our parents, maybe emotionally unavailable or even abusive, and we think that if we can love them enough, then we'll get them to open and change and become what we wish our parents had been to us. And that's one of the things that often motivates people in relationships, is they get attracted to somebody who's truly not open and not loving, and they think, my love will get this person to open. And, of course, it never, ever, ever works.
Right. And I
so
think
if you're wanting to share love with somebody and they're not available, that's information for you.
Well, and as a result, I feel like my love is not good enough in any situation. So
okay,
how do you overcome
that's
that?
That's you now. Trying to control the situation by shaming yourself. That's what I mean by self-criticism.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that's a form of control. You're telling yourself that if only I could love better, then he would have reacted differently. But that's the lie. We don't have control over whether people are open or closed, whether they're loving or unloving. We just don't have that control. And so telling yourself that your love isn't good enough, see, shame and control are deeply tied in with each other. If you truly accepted that you have no control over another person's being open to loving or open to learning or sharing love with you, then there would be no reason to shame yourself. You would never say, well, my love isn't good enough. You would say, well, that person's not open.
Right. Well, that's
but
helpful.
If you're not willing to accept the lack of control over whether or not somebody's open, then you shame yourself, and you say, well, my love isn't good enough, and if it were good enough, then I could have control over somebody being open, and that's a big lie. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's anything wrong with your love. is that you're picking people who are not available.
Right, and that's
the thing for you to look at as to why would you be picking unavailable people. There's something for you to learn about that.
Right, I'll look into it. Thank you. I did your inner bonding course a year ago and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, great.
Very helpful.
I'm glad.
So, thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to read another question here. And this is from Lalia in Houston. And she says, I'm very anxious around people and it's difficult for me to meet their gaze directly. I really like people and I want to make friends. How do I overcome my handicap and attract the right kind of people? So being anxious around people means that what's happening is that you're making other people responsible for your worth. It's like if you had an actual child and you were going into a social event and you're walking in with the child and you turn to the child and you say to the child, everybody here has to like you or you're not okay. What's going to happen, you see, is that the child is going to get very anxious. The child is going to think, oh, my God, I don't know how to do this, and maybe I'm not going to do it right, and are these people going to like me, and if they don't like me, I'm not okay. And so whenever you're anxious around other people, it's always because you're abandoning yourself and you're making other people responsible for you. And once you abandon yourself, it makes it very, very difficult to look at people directly and to actually make friends. And so once again, I want to encourage you to learn and practice inner bonding. Learn how to define your own worth instead of making other people responsible for defining your worth. That's a big part of the inner bonding process, is learning how to define your own worth through your spiritual guidance. Imagine how life would be if you were able to bring through the truth that you are an incredibly worthy individual, that you are a beautiful, wonderful spark of God, that there is nothing wrong with you on the essence level. What if you were really able to define for yourself your own value and worth? And then when you went to a social event, you could go to offer your caring and offer your kindness and offer your love and offer your excitement rather than going to worry about whether or not other people like you. So once again, the anxiety around people is coming from abandonment. It's coming from making them responsible for defining your own worth. So I'm going to unmute everybody because I just want to be able to thank all of you and say goodbye to all of you. Thank you so much for joining me here and asking your questions. And I really want to encourage all of you to come on the website. We have free 7 days, and you can try out the website for 7 days. I'm doing a workshop in Los Angeles in March, and if you know anybody, tell them about the Inner Bonding Weekend Workshop, and where they will learn the inner bonding process. And then I have a 5-day intensive here where I live in Durango, Colorado, and that's where you will really, really learn inner bonding on a very, very deep level. So I'm going to say goodbye to all of you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank
you,
Doctor.
Can I ask one question?
Sending blessings to all of you.
Can I ask you? Can I ask a question?
Well, you can ask real brief.
What?
You can ask very, very briefly because we only have a minute left.
Oh, okay. I want you to know when you get to your core feeling of pain, and there's so much pain from childhood that has been buried for a very long time, what's the best approach to be able to deal with the pain that feels so unbearable?
You have to learn to bring in compassion from your spiritual guidance. You have to learn to bring in the kindness and gentleness from your spiritual guidance. That is what heals old pain. So, good night, everybody. God bless all of you. I hope to see you on the Inner Bonding membership site. Bye-bye.
Bye, Margaret.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.